Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall. Today I'm with a special guest who you might have seen on the show before, heard on the show before, to talk about one of, I think, probably the most important things that's happening in sneakers right now, and that is the movement in the golf world that is somehow aligned with sneakers for the first time since I started getting into these things decades ago. I have with me from Sunday Red, Charlie Hudak. Is that right? Pronounce that right? Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, we talked, the first time we talked a few months back was, you know, obviously the very beginning of this journey that you're on with Tiger and with Sunday Red. So it's only been a few months, but the brand seems to have gone from, you know, its infancy stages to this massive offering. Now you're, you know, here to talk a little bit about the launch of, I guess, like what you would say is the first off-course shoe for Sunday Red, right?
Yeah, it's like a hybrid. I would say it's an on-course, off-course, spikeless offering, but it's, you know, it definitely is tailored to be able to be worn off-course as well as on.
Yeah. So before we get to the shoes themselves, I want to talk a little bit about just the business of sneakers, because you have a very deep, rich history in designing footwear for the last few almost two decades, I'm guessing, I think is what I was looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been tinkering with footwear since I was probably in the third and fourth grade. But yeah, like my career spans almost two decades. And yeah, I've been very fortunate in having a lot of different experiences for sure.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit about that the last time we spoke, but I think I want to have you give a little bit of background on yourself and how you got into this. And then we could talk a little bit about this convergence of golf and footwear that's, you know, you are coming from like the perfect angle, the perfect timing to be a part of something that I think everybody's watched these two worlds parallel, but never have the energies come together and synergize so much as they have right now. And hopefully we could talk a little bit about how that is impacting, you know, Sunday Red's, or maybe how Sunday Red is impacting that. Who knows? But give a little background on yourself, Charlie, and let the audience know kind of your history within the footwear world and you know, where you're at now with Sunday Red.
Yeah, I mean, I think it started, you know, like with just my love association with sports, you know, and essentially footwear is probably one of the most major parts of you know, the tool that we use. You know, I mean, whether you're playing basketball, soccer, or golf, like it is your contact with the ground, and it's got to perform. I was talking about the journey, and I would think, you know, it pretty much started off with my dad had a pretty good history with golf, and I remember cleaning his shoes off when I was a kid. As soon as he was done with the round, you know, I was in charge of cleaning off and making sure the spikes were all intact. And so that's kind of where it started. And then as I was getting into sports, like, you know, obviously, I would say like I kind of was at the boom of what I would call sneaker culture. Like I was at a very impressionable age, you know, 12, 13, when kind of like the 1984, I call it like the perfect storm. You had ESPN 24 hours a day. You had the Olympics in LA. And then you had basically the infusion of basketball with the likes of a young gentleman from North Carolina.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I mean, then, you know, I kind of was, you know, I always say like the journey is the destination, or the destination is the journey, either way. But I would say that, you know, I was non-traditional and not linear. You know, I kind of tried to figure out what I wanted to do with my life along the way. And then ultimately, you know, I've always had the passion for footwear and the passion for sport. And I went back to school later on in life and got a degree in industrial design at the University of Cincinnati DAP program. And I knew I wanted to do footwear. I would say I was obsessed, and I had some really good mentors that kind of encouraged me along the way in the industry. Some, you know, work with our competitors now. And, you know, we kind of have I would say like our team, myself, Tyler Pinkos and Cody Cowden, have like a kind of a David and Goliath approach. But when you're talking about like the history and the culture of sneakers. I remember back in the early 2000s, I told my dad and my brother, Chris, that, you know, that the sneaker culture is coming to golf. And, you know, they were a little bit hesitant to get on board. But I think over the last, like, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe even 10 years, it's here. You know, like, people are paying attention to what golfers are wearing on course. A lot of, you know, effort is being made to kind of stand out in the crowd. And when the opportunity came to be a part of this, you know, I didn't really know. I mean, I spoke with DA, our CEO of TaylorMade, and David was, I mean, you know, once he let the cat out of the bag, I couldn't believe what was happening. I pretty much, you know, just needed one word. You know, when they said, "Ty, you'll be working with Tiger," I was blown away. It felt like a dream. I had to pinch myself. So,
yeah.
But what we do here, like, I think our team, very passionate, and we kind of adopted, you know, Tiger's mentality, hard work, passion, authenticity. We bring it all to the table, and we infuse a lot of, like, you know, our experiences of what we've drafted from. You know, I've worked in, you know, with skateboarding, you know, like Rob Dyrdek, and then I worked in basketball and got to work with NBA professionals. I've worked in cleated, got to work with, you know, baseball and football players. So it's been a journey, and I've been at, you know, a handful of other brands. And I think, like my team, we take the good and we leave the bad behind, and we learn and we grow and we get better. And that's kind of the name of the game. When I first met with Tiger, I said, there isn't going to be a silver bullet. We aren't that good, but it'll be a process, and we're going to take insights and learnings from your experience and your knowledge and all the wisdom that he brings around the game of golf, and we're going to infuse it into the product. I think so far, so good. I think, you know, we launched back in December 4th with the Pioneer collection, and we came out with the Cypress and then the Magnolia. And so far, so good. I mean, he's had a good experience. He's pulled me aside and said some really nice and complimentary things. And now we're on to our, like you said, our kind of launch into, you know, a more kind of lifestyle on course, off course, still, you know, still performance driven. You know, being a technical lifestyle brand, you know, we always put performance at the forefront. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, kind of today marks the, you know, the, I would say, the beginning of being able to get into that more sneaker culture kind of, you know, very, I would say it's very, very, very intense, you know, part of the equation. And you see it all over the place. And so we're excited.
Yeah, definitely. I can totally relate. And I think, you know, sneakers right now is in such an interesting place too. And hearing you talk about that kind of, you know, you're not going to have the silver bullet. And I think that is that having that understanding in your history of working in footwear is such a strong point for the brand compared to what we've seen in the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years in the sneaker world, where, you know, you have these, like, just like these crazy, insane blow up moments that happen from time to time. But they aren't realistic about building a long-term business or building a brand long-term in any way, shape, or form. You know, it's like some of it's great and, so, you know, there's entertainment and there's fun things happening. But a lot of times, and you probably, not to disparage some of the places you've worked before, but sometimes the big companies get in their own way because there's so many people touching or in, you know, like in the process of getting those things out to the world, you miss out on the authenticity because it just gets pulled back and pulled back and pulled back. And I think we're seeing that in a lot of ways with even the consumer side of sneakers. You know, we had this really big run up, you know, probably from like 2015, 2022, 2023, where almost everything was working for most brands somehow, some way. And it didn't really, as somebody who's worked in this business on the media side for, you know, 16, 17, 18 years now, you know, like I love this stuff through the ups and downs. And I saw some stuff recently where people are saying, well, sneakers are dead. And it's like, well, yeah, but like, as just a general lover of sneakers, I'm going to go into my Ross or Marshalls and see, you know, yes, that might not be good for the brands, but if I can buy a pair of shoes that I really like for $30 or $40, $50, and add to my collection, that is what brings me joy. It's like, kind of chasing those things down and having that fun and sharing those things with the community and with the people that can relate to that, where it's interesting to hear your take on that, you know, building the Sunday Red brand, because I'm sure that there's plenty of people out there, athletes and otherwise, that you could have gone to with that same statement of, hey, we're not going to have a silver bullet. We need to build this the right way. And they would have been like, no, we need to sell out. We need to have these big moments right now to start. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So talk a little bit about how you kind of think about that in like this process of rolling out all of what you've rolled out in the last, you know, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to start, Nick, I mean, I would say that, you know, we were very fortunate, I would say, with David Abeles and Brad Blankenship. They've been super supportive of our team. They've kind of, you know, they started off with just build the right product, make sure it's right, you know, and, you know, spare no expense. And we didn't really, like, we weren't working toward a FOB or a price point. We were just trying to make the best product possible to support Tiger Woods and, you know, golfers alike. Our thought was, if we can satisfy Tiger, then I think we can satisfy the general population as well. But DA and Brad have been super supportive of our team. And then our team has kind of a David and Goliath mentality. I would say Tyler Pinkos and Cody Cowden, like, they're awesome. They're awesome. We work well as a team together. We have our ups and our downs, just like any other, you know, any other organization. But at the end of the day, product is what matters most. And we don't, you know, like, we look at it as like an artifact that someday that might end up in a museum. So we want it to kind of tell a story on its own. And we, you know, at the same time, we want it to perform. And, you know, the idea of being able to enhance a player's experience with their tool, with their craft, it's about as close as you can get to playing and being in a locker room. You know, that's the feeling we have. That, you know, with Tiger too, you know, he has a high standard of excellence, and with his work ethic and with his mentality, it's infectious. And we want to, you know, we want to meet the bar, and quite frankly, we want to exceed his expectations. That's our mission. Early on, we refer to it as like white glove service, and that's what we've set as our standard. But the support and, you know, the idea of being a new brand, like, that's also really cool, because we aren't carrying any, you know, baggage from the past, or, you know, we're not expected to kind of, I guess, you know, transform something that was built for basketball and brought into to golf, or, you know, soccer or tennis. I mean, it's truly, it's kind of from the ground up, you know, it's starting from ground zero and then working our way up. And it's been such an amazing experience. I would say, you know, I kind of, you know, have to, I mean, it's like it's a dream come true, but it's like, it's really surreal sometimes, you know, when you walk into a room and Tiger and his team is in there, you know, Amy and Rob have been tremendous, you know, to work with as well. They are often the interpreter and the translator for me to help, you know, understand some of Tiger's, you know, his vocabulary. He has his own, you know, it's almost like a foreign language, but I mean, every step along the way, you know, we kind of are committed to the process and very disciplined in our approach. Like you said, I would say, you know, it's been, you know, almost 2 years, but it's 17 to 20 plus years in the making. And with my team, like, I would say, like, that's like, for me, I'm really proud about that. And I would say Tyler Pinkos and Cody have elevated the game, like, more so than I ever expected. And we have, I would say, that what I always call is the most significant athlete to ever walk the planet. So somewhat of an unfair advantage. I mean, we're, you know, like, we have a mantra of, like, it's the compass, not the clock, and, you know, the meticulous attention to detail, and we infuse that into the product. And I think the Sunday Red Osprey is just one more example of all of that diligence, all that hard work, and all of that passion fused into a product that we bring to life for golfers and customers alike.
That's awesome, man. You mentioned not having the influence of other sports and being able to start with golf from the beginning. And you can give some really specific insight on that, you know, and I'm not asking for very specific, but just as a broad overview, I think the sneaker consumer can look at, you know, a running shoe with golf on the outsole and say, oh, that is a running shoe that has some, you know, more aggressive tread on it, and understand that. But I'm sure that you probably think of that in a much bigger, even maybe philosophical way, in the way that footwear is designed. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think, you know, we have the luxury of being golf specific, and everything that we have at our disposal is geared toward that sport, you know, and we're trying to satisfy a unique set of individuals. And Tiger has always said the athlete comes first. So when we're speaking with Tiger and gaining insights from club professionals and, you know, other AMs or Carl Phillips or whoever we have at our disposal, it just gives us the opportunity to kind of leverage all of that insight and all that wisdom and put it infused into the product. Obviously, we have a pretty strong understanding and we do a lot of research about the other products in the market. And we kind of set, like, you know, the standard to try to surpass, you know, those models as well. You know, some of the things that we look at is, you know, how it stands up under the conditions. It's obviously a sport that's played outdoors. A lot of sports are played indoors. We also look at, you know, there's different surfaces that we're working with, and how to have maintain like a strong stability, you know, comfort, and also traction when performing, to utilize those ground forces. But it's not like, it's not in a flat surface. It changes, it undulates, it moves different heights of grass and different types of grass. And then when we're talking about, you know, the greens as well, like, we want to be respectful and make sure that we're, you know, taking care of them to make the greenskeeper's job a little bit easier and not impacting the greens. So we take that pretty seriously as well. So we're lucky because, you know, we are focused primarily on golf, and we, you know, have a pretty unfair advantage with Tiger. But we also, you know, like, we look at what's out there. You know, we have the ability with Osprey. We're looking at examples of high fashion, and we're looking at examples of performance, and we're necessarily, you know, tied to any one direction. So we can kind of be mobile and adapt to, you know, what we actually want to put out on the market. And of course, it's got to pass, you know, Tiger's sniff test. So, you know, everything that we do goes across his desk, and, you know, the buck pretty much stops there. So it's pretty cool. It's a unique experience for sure. I was not, you know, 100% sure like what this would look like, but the amount of time that we've spent with Tiger has been, I mean, it's pretty incredible.
That's awesome. So the Osprey is out now by the time people are watching or listening to this. Talk a little bit about that specifically, because when I first saw the images that Brittany sent over, it's like, it's got all of these like kind of iconic high-end casual shoe pieces, kind of, this is a terrible word, but like crammed into one, like just very clean style. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, the idea behind it, you know, is essentially like, we wanted to make sure that Tiger was able to wear, you know, a model or a style that was Sunday Red. And early on in the process, I would say it was no different from the Pioneer Cypress or Magnolia. And so we had the mentality of from the ground up and from the inside out. You know, we went through a similar process. We started with fit. You know, we worked on the last with Yinhua up in Portland, Oregon. Brian has been an unbelievable partner in working on, you know, making the last and making sure that it would work for Tiger. And then at the same time, work for all the other, you know, golfers out there and all the other people that are associated or participate in the game. Then we worked on comfort. You know, our second pillar was comfort. And so we wanted to make sure that this shoe, kind of above all, kind of our mantra was from sun up to sundown. This is a style that we, you know, expected or assumed that people would wear from the minute they woke up to, you know, the minute they hit the pillow. So, yeah, I mean, that was the comfort piece. And then third was performance. And that's when Tiger really kind of honed in on certain things that he wanted, talking about the offset or the drop or the heel to toe ratio. He wanted to be lower to the ground. He wanted to maximize ground force reactions. And so we, you know, kind of lowered the drop, kept it, you know, similar to that of the Cypress and the Magnolia. And then the aesthetic, you know, like our idea is that we kind of latched onto this idea of like an executive sneaker somewhere, something that you could wear from the boardroom to the first tee. And, you know, we looked at, you know, models in high luxury fashion. And then we also looked at some performance sneakers as we are addressing the overall build. One of the things that's pretty unique about this is, you know, it's a general cup sole. Like, so on the exterior, it's all rubber, but it's encaged with, that encages like this EVA drop-in that you see a lot in performance sports.
Yeah.
So it's like a comfortable ride, still stable, but it'll be able to be worn for the duration of the day, those long rolling days on the range or in the office, in the boardroom, wherever it may take you. It'll be a comfortable experience. In terms of the traction, we like really kind of worked with Tiger to make sure that it still maintained the same kind of high level performance of a high octane, you know, golf shoe, but it's, you know, in a sneaker look. And I think like the fourth idea is just like that aesthetic. We wanted it to be clean, simple, something that you can be worn in any occasion. I think the first time we saw it was him walking in. First time we saw it in the wild was him walking in a TGL, you know, like from his car to the locker mm-hmm. room at GL. And then I think the second time we saw it via social media was at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And so that was kind of a cool, you know, moment where Tyler, Cody, and myself, we were all high-fiving one another. Like if it can be worn there, we think it can be worn anywhere. So yeah. You know, that wasn't necessarily the intention, but Tiger also said that, you know, when he's going to some of these elevated events off outside of the golf arena, that he prefers wearing sneakers. And so this was kind of how it was born. He referred to it as the coach's shoe and the caddy shoe. And he was like, this will be perfect for club professionals. But we wanted to make sure that, you know, he would feel comfortable enough for wearing it off course. Like some of the ideas of like just the comfort, like, you know, beefed up the collar lining mm-hmm. or the collar foam, and then we also beefed up the tongue foam. It's like a three-quarter booty construction, so that kind of like pulls from some of the more performance oriented I would say footwear that you find in the space. I'm sure you could probably pick out some that from the past, but the three-quarter booting makes it seamless. There's no hot spots, blistering. It'll be extremely comfortable. It also kind of keeps that tongue from sliding from one side to the other. Usually like that, they try to prevent that with a lace lock, but we have a lace lock, but it's almost kind of more of an accessory, or kind of, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be there, but it's a nice addition for the aesthetic. Some of the storytelling that goes into it, like, well, first of all, we have a TPU, you know, mm-hmm. shank that adds for the stability, but it's a nice little hit that kind of works with the lines very well. But we have like these rule of thirds. Tiger's very big about the rule of thirds, and we have three perfs on the toe box that kind of speaks to the rule of thirds. We reinforce it with three micro perfs on the medial side that kind of again tells the story of thirds. And then in the back here we have four D bosses, and that's kind of paying homage to the majors. I think our muse Tiger Woods does pretty well in those events, so we wanted to kind of speak to that a little bit. But overall, like I said, I mean, we see these as artifacts and we treat them as such, and we, you know, pretty much everything that we work on, we want to make sure that it's an elevated experience, not only from a comfort and performance perspective, but also from an aesthetic perspective as well.
Do you, how do you look at like trends, you know, being that golf has blown up, and in, I don't want to say it's blown up. I think it's having like a resurgence, but it's like different areas of golf. You know, like I started playing because of my grandfather. Have a very similar story to you, like cleaning the, you know, the spikes after going out with him. And, you know, I played on the high school team, and I've kind of moved away from golf since he passed away. But like all of my friends who were never into golf in the last 5 to 10 years are now heavily into golf and super passionate about it. There's obviously a lot of big things and a lot of, you know, like more accessible things about the sport. But it's also kind of interesting, on, you know, thinking about like this from very two very different angles, sneakers are almost in need of this simplification that you've probably could point to in your career and be like, yeah, well, we have these ups and down moments. And usually what happens is people wear the craziest stuff and everybody wants to be seen and have certain things. And then we kind of move back away from that as a culture and say, okay, well, we're going to simplify the way we're going to go towards our choices for a while. And like, it seems like almost like a perfect storm for you to be doing this right now. And I wonder how much of that is just a perfect storm and how much of that you guys are talking about as you're creating this, because to me, it seems like we're moving into a more refined look and choice for people where they're going to be buying a nicer pair versus six pair. And, you know, like I think we've seen those cycles for the past 15, 20 years in footwear in general, right? And how much of that and like what are the conversations like for you guys as you're thinking this through and talking about it that come together for those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of resources that we can lean on in terms of like staying on top of the trends, you know. And I would also say that, you know, as designers and developers, we kind of have a mentality similar to Henry Ford in the sense of, you know, like if we only listen to the consumer, like we would just give them a faster horse. You know, we want to be on the, I would say at the lead position. You know, we don't want to be chasing trends necessarily. We kind of want to start the trends. As far as, you know, a lot of our early iterations, they were guided by, for the most part, Tiger and how he envisioned, you know, his legacy through the vehicle of Sunday Red, you know, panning out or planning stages or the strategy. And so, you know, again, leaning into that idea of the rule of thirds, we kind of broke it down into, you know, three distinct silos in the footwear category. The first being performance heritage, which was like more classic, you know, iterations, golf shoes, you know, things that are more palatable for your, I would say, your golf fanatic. Then we have adaptive lifestyle, and that's where, you know, the Osprey sits. It's something that's like basically in and around the game or lifestyle driven. And then our third category that we're currently working on is sport contemporary. And that's kind of like the opportunity to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more contemporary, perhaps more modern and in accelerated lines in terms of design language. You know, the idea for us is, you know, we think the sky's the limit with this brand. We want to be a serious contender. We want to kind of turn some heads, and you don't always need to do that with, you know, big and bold. You can do that with a more minimal and kind of a less is more approach, but still focusing on the fine details and being very meticulous about them and intentional. You know, I often say to our team, and I think they probably get tired of hearing it, but, you know, the idea that, you know, if anything's arbitrary, it's not really design. So we're intentional about everything, and we make sure that we're, you know, even down to the aglet or down to a, you know, a perf or, you know, a secondary traction lug. Like we take it really seriously. It's, you know, it's what we were brought here to do. And I think, you know, luckily, like so far so good, you know, the support that we had from DA and Brad have been pretty amazing. They believe in like our vision for what we want to do with the footwear in the space. So it's exciting. I mean, I can't be happier. And I would say, you know, especially on the Osprey, you know, Cody and Tyler, like they raised the bar. It was really impressive to see. I was expecting this, you know, the Cupsole, you know, it would definitely hit the mark, but this exceeded our expectations, and hopefully it had exceeded Tiger's as well. I would say, you know, overall, this experience it's still hard to come to terms with. Like it's an amazing experience, and the team that we have, it's small and nimble, but you know, I think with the mentality of the product is the most important aspect of this, we're doing a pretty good job.
Have you had, on the flip side of that, you know, coming to the table with the experience, have you had challenges being that it's such a small team? And, you know, like, are there any things that you can look at and like kind of really feel excited about overcoming in this like last, you know, 18 months, 2 years that you've been working on it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think especially like with, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, footwear, it's like controlled chaos, I would say. And yeah. I would say there's rarely a silver bullet. There's rarely do you do a napkin sketch and then all of a sudden that becomes, you know, the, I guess the pie in the sky. Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, overcoming the obstacles is, you know, we're, you know, you're working with feet, you know, they're pretty dynamic. Everybody has a different foot shape. Everybody has a different experience. Some people have wider feet. Some people have higher instep. Some people have low arch. Some people have high arch. And so, I mean, 26 bones and a bunch of, you know, muscles and tendons and whatnot. It's this challenging problem statement. And our objective is try to please as many people as possible, but also knowing that we're not going to please everybody. I think that's, you know, something that we have to come to terms with. Sometimes there will be a model that might not be right for you, but hopefully like we're covering our bases and making sure that 99% of the people can find something to wear with Sunday Red. Yeah. And I would say like, you know, like the challenges, you know, usually are, you know, they're almost daily, but I think we come with a mentality to kind of take it all in stride and work together and collaborate and to try to solve everything that we can. Obviously, like we can get a text early in the morning from Tiger saying like, hey, I'd prefer, you know, like sit a little higher or have a little bit more sturdy midsole, you know, foam compound. And we have to respond. That's our job. But I would say like we do a really good job of mitigating like the risks of, you know, we make sound decisions.
Yeah.
We have a good strategy, a good approach on how to tackle the market. And between myself, Tyler and Cody, we are obsessed with footwear. And that's like a great place to start. We're passionate about it. We're staying, you know, we're keeping our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the sneaker world or in the golf world or in the sporting world at large. We're taking account like what's happening in the street, what's happening in fashion, and we're trying to put our best foot forward to make sure that like we can bring all of that to the table when we're in the war room or at the discussion table, you know. Yeah. So, and there's not many bad ideas that are brought. Usually they all come with a strong perspective, and we're pretty lucky. I love working with the people that I work with. So it's a great, great situation.
Yeah, that's great. How, for the audience that we have, a lot of people are very knowledgeable about footwear and sneakers in terms of, you know, probably even some of the technology aspects of things you're doing. But when you talk about going to Tiger and him saying, hey, this foam isn't working for me, or, you know, let's reiterate on this, you don't have to give like a specific number, but like, what's that average look like for a product for somebody that's never experienced sneakers the way maybe you and I get to experience being so close to the product? How much back and forth happens? How many, you know, attempts to get it right? And like, what does that process look like for you guys? Especially because, you know, I think there's like the consumer side of things where you hear about, you know, maybe tariffs and all the things that happen politically that impact shipping times and all that. You know, over the last 5 years, we've had insane things impact like the actual businesses that we work in here. But there's also the sampling process and all of that stuff where, like, you know, I think people have like a very specific idea of what that is. But then we have had guests on recently that are doing a ton of work in the 3D printed space. So like they're creating shoes, you know, almost instantaneously compared to probably what you work on. And not to say that those worlds don't collide at times, but I think we're still moving in parallels there with most of us. But like, what does that look like in terms of like, you know, the process of back and forth and the timeline for product to go from, you know, those conversations and those ideas coming into the war room and being put on the table to, you know, let's say this, you know, launch of the Osprey?
Yeah, I would say that we kicked off this process with Tiger pretty early in the inception of this brand. You know, we ultimately had the kind of an idea of like, you know, what the product tree would look like. And I would say, you know, when we first showed him the first iteration of the shoe, he referred to it as a coach's shoe. He referred to it as a caddy shoe or, you know, a club professional shoe, something that could be worn on course and off course. It's not necessarily what he's going to compete in. You know, I mean, he prefers nails or spikes. And so, like, for the traction element and the support, and, you know, he likes probably a more stable, grounded shoe. You know, he likes kind of, he's very classic and very clean in his approach. But the process was, you know, I would say, like, traditionally it's like 18 to 24 months from start to finish to, you know, where you, I mean, man, I used to think that shoes just showed up on the shelves. So Behind the scenes, I mean, I would say Tyler Pinkos, like, he probably at times wants to kill me, you know, with some of these changes and modifications and amendments. And I would say the same was, you know, he probably had the same experience with Cody too. You know, there's times where he was like, guys, we got to put the pen down and start, you know, getting to it, or else these shoes won't end up on the shelf. So Tyler does a good job of making sure that those kind of crazy, you know, thoughts, or I mean, I would just say, like, you know, keeps us in check. You make sure that we're hitting the deadlines. But I would say we did, like, you know, I mean, so many different iterations, you know, in the back and forth with Tiger. I mean, we woke up this morning and had some more feedback as it relates to, you know, his current shoe of choice that he's testing for us. And he's, you know, obviously, like, if he makes a request, we have to respond and try to make it better and improve. And we're always learning on ways to improve it. But the process, I would say, we didn't cut any corners. We didn't make any shortcuts, and we kind of stuck to the process. And all along the way, every decision we made was in the effort to improve the product. And, you know, nothing was no decision was made that would detract from the product. It was all about enhancing the experience with this tool, with this equipment or this shoe. Yeah. And I would say, like, you talked about 3D and you talked about the evolution in the space, like with AI and whatnot, and like how fast, you know, certain products can come at lightning speed. But we, you know, we just want to get it right. That was kind of what was our instruction from the start. And, you know, 14 prototypes later, modifications to molds, modifications to, you know, lining, materials, all of those things, I think we landed in a really good place for the Sunday Red Osprey. I think people will benefit from it. You know, we turned over every stone and made sure it was a great product.
That's awesome. All right. Well, my last question is more going towards, like, the more sneakerhead mentality of all of this. You mentioned, you know, working on future projects and stuff. Are there plans or discussions about the more traditional things we see in the, like, sneaker space with it, whether it be, you know, collaborations or limited edition stuff or any of those things that I think have become kind of the, you know, I don't want to call it the norm in a bad way, but it's very standardized where, like, you know, product catalog is here, and then here's this interesting piece that we drop in occasionally to get a little energy going. Not to say that it has to be that way, but are there any things like that that you foresee being a part of this? Because I think that's a really interesting convergence of these two worlds that I don't think has been done well enough. It's been done in really cool ways in some regards, but very disconnected from the game in a lot of regards as well. What does that look like for Sunday Red and for what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I would say, like, I mean, we call them, like, special moments or times or collaborations and, you know, SMUs and whatnot. Right now, I think, you know, our mentality and our approach is mostly geared in making sure that it's authentic and it has a connection to both Tiger and the game. And, you know, making sure that, like, for the special events, you know, whether it's, you know, a major, like, you know, in Augusta or the US Open or the Open or any major event or any other elevated event, we want to kind of make sure that it's right. In terms of collaborations, like, yeah, I mean, I'm very much integrated with sneaker culture and sneakerheads at large. At one point I used to consider myself a sneakerhead, but I think when I lived in New York City and I actually started meeting some of these folks that have 10,000 pairs of shoes or 20,000 pairs of shoes, I quickly realized that I was merely kind of like a more of a voyeur in the game of sneaker culture or sneakerhead, you know, that realm. But it's important. The collaborations, like it's an opportunity to kind of, you know, bring to whether it's an artist or another brand or, you know, whatever it may be, like it's an opportunity to kind of increase the voice, increase the chorus, I would say. And we're definitely interested. It just has to be authentic. We don't want to just mail it in and just, you know, take a light stab at it. We want to make sure it makes sense. And the storytelling for us is huge, like, you know, big fans of history and seeing some of the successful collaborations with other brands and learning from those and some of the unsuccessful ones, like if there was something that was done differently, could that have worked? But there's a lot of really cool and interesting things in the collaboration space that are happening and they continuously evolve, you know? And I think it's like when you get a good collaboration and put together, that's like when the magic happens. We like on our team, we've talked about different case scenarios, different opportunities and like what we should explore. And then, you know, other people bring the same kind of ideas around and we're open to it, but it would be fun, you know, like it would be fun, like to see like what our take on that would be, and to get Tiger on board for something like that would be amazing as well. But for him, I think like he just wants to make sure it's right and it's true to the brand.
Yeah.
After all, this is his legacy and the technical, you know, performance gear, like that's, you know, technical, like performance lifestyle brand, that's like crucial. And just making sure that it's authentic and real and it's not mailed in. But yeah, I'm excited for the future. Like, I think we have some things coming down the pipeline that are going to create a lot of energy. And we also like have the opportunity to work with Tiger on some of the advancements and innovations that we're doing to try to make sure that we do stand out in the crowd. You know, it's kind of like that when I talked about the David and Goliath mentality, you know, after, you know, reading Malcolm Gladwell's, you know, book about, or his little tidbit about David, you know, he was pretty skilled at what he was doing. So it wasn't as a big of an upset as everyone thinks it was, but we're poised to, you know, we want to make a splash. We want to, you know, assist in Tiger and his pursuit of building a legacy with Sunday Red. So yeah, man, it's just, again, like it's, you know, just sitting here with you, Nick, like it's sometimes surreal to even talk about. We're excited. Tyler and Cody are excited and the whole team at Sunday Red. We have a lot of support from the marketing team. We have a lot of support from the operations team, the customer service team. Like it's a great outfit, you know, and all the people here are awesome to work with.
That's awesome. And I think that's a great place to wrap. That's the most important part about all this, you know, like the product and the stories and the energy that happens within those walls for you guys is what translates into the product and the stories that the consumer can take and then create their own story with. So awesome to hear. I definitely appreciate you taking the time. I'll have links in the description to Sunday Red. It's just Sunday Red on all the platforms. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Well, Nick, thanks for having me on here. First of all, I always enjoy talking with you. I mean, it's something that I think our whole team is passionate about, getting our, you know, like the story of Sunday Red out there, the story of Tiger Woods and like his quest to build something monumental. It's humbling and it's amazing, but you know, it's a lot easier talking with someone like yourself because like you've been part of this culture for a long time and you get it. And Tiger said to me, you know, a while back, like that we listen to him, you know, that we listened to the athlete and we took his insights and we built something great together. And I would say the same with you, like you truly listen to like what we have to say and you help us spread the word. And it's really an honor to be part of it. So I appreciate you having me on here.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That means a lot. And it's always, it's fun talking to you and understanding, you know, like I feel like, you know, I think you're a few years ahead of me in your journey, but you know, the way you talk about your relationship with Tiger, just the importance, the legacy that he is building for himself and what you're a part of is such an important piece of this world that I don't think it's talked about enough. So I'm excited to get to hear from you and hear the progress that you're making in, you know, like the steps that you're making with Sunday Red. 'Cause you know, as someone who, you know, like I said, you know, as you said about your father and like being close to the sport of golf from the beginning and then, you know, being working in sneakers for so long, it's just two worlds colliding that I really never thought would collide in the way that they are right now. And it's awesome to be able to have these conversations. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, and same here. I mean, it is like kind of two worlds colliding, you know, and never really, again, I thought shoes just showed up on shelves back in the day. And it wasn't until now I see everything that goes beyond it. It's an amazing experience working with Tiger, the team here in San Clemente and the team down in Jupiter. It's really kind of, it's incredible. That's all I can say.
But that's awesome,
I appreciate
man.
You having me on here again.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And best of luck and get back out there and get back out on the golf course.
I will. It's definitely on the list of to-dos for this summer. So I'll be back out there at some point soon, but thanks for coming on. Like I said, you can follow @SundayRed on all the platforms. I'll link to the Osprey in the description. You can check out the new design. And thanks again for coming on. Thanks for listening. Make sure you give us hit subscribe for us if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.